If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're tackling one of the hottest topics in career growth, advocating for yourself and setting up your own success. Have you ever wondered how to actually confidently communicate your career goals, build strong alliances, or get your manager on board with your growth? Well, we're digging into all of that today. By the end of this episode, you'll have insights and strategies to take your professional life to the next level. Joining me today is the amazing Natalie Serebrennick. She's a certified professional coach who empowers leaders to thrive in high-pressure environments. With over 16 years in capital market, she combines her extensive industry knowledge with her coaching expertise to support leaders in achieving their professional goals. She helps her clients uncover their unique leadership style by enhancing the way they communicate, the way they lead, and the way they navigate complex leadership dynamics with authenticity and purpose. Her approach focuses on building a confident leader mindset while implementing tactical strategies to create intentional career wins. She sets her clients up for success by strengthening their soft skills and teaching them how to overcome obstacles with ease. Let's get started. Welcome, Natalie.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me and that warm welcome. So sweet.
I am so excited that you are here today, and this is going to be an amazing conversation. I want to start at the beginning. Tell us about your career journey. I mean, your career is just super impressive. How did you even get into capital markets? And how was your journey through capital markets into where you are now?
Yeah, great question. Like a throwback.
Yes.
So I was raised by immigrant parents. I'm first generation Canadian. So I very much grew up with that mentality, work hard, work hard, work hard. And it fueled my desire to land in a great program that would create stability for me. So naturally, when I was graduating from university, I was thinking, okay, what role can I put myself into that is going to achieve the most amount of success when it comes to financial security and all of that bundled up into one little package? So I made my way over to capital markets and I just didn't leave. So I started my career off in equity research at BMO Capital Markets and then quickly moved over to the trading floor. And I spent my whole duration of the rest of my career on the trading floor, which was a very interesting experience. It's true.
I can imagine. How was that?
It was so crazy most days that you don't really like digest the experience until you get home and you're like, what just happened? Because it's so go, go, go. And it's very true. It's that industry is very male dominated. It's very much like you're only as good as your last trade. I can't even tell you how many times I heard that phrase before, and it's so true. So the pressure to succeed and to perform was like skyrocket. So yeah, lots of stress, lots of anxiety, but also very dynamic, very challenging. I had to face my own imposter syndrome quite a bit at the beginning of my career. Worried that, oh my gosh, they're going to figure out that I don't know anything. They're going to be like, you fraudster, get out of here. I was just so in my head at the beginning of my career. And I didn't know what it meant to like truly get into that driver's seat of your career and really build the growth that you want. I just expected that if I put my head down and did good work, like my parents always told me to, that it was just everything was going to work out perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I realized, no, you need a little bit more sail to the wind, as you will, and a little bit more strategy.
And how did you develop that strategy and that insight, that working hard and putting your head down, which I think so many people can relate to? It's what we grow up doing, and no one else teaches us the other ways. We think we work hard, and then other people see that we work hard, and then they'll promote us. At what point did you realize that isn't the case? And then what did you do differently?
Yeah, great question. I still vividly remember the day. So in capital markets, our pay structure is very much, we have a salary, but a lot of what we're working towards, because the salary itself is fixed, what's variable is the bonus component. So as long as you're performing and doing really good work throughout the year, you're hoping that if your team performs really well and beats growth expectations, that means that you're going to be walking away with a pretty handsome bonus in hand. So you work really hard for that bonus opportunity. So we usually hear our bonus numbers December, and it was specifically December 2015, when I couldn't have been, Teresa, more confident walking into a discussion. I thought, there is no way that I'm not getting paid this year. I was so certain that everything that I had done up until that point was exactly what I needed to. And I feel like I really went above and beyond. I came back from my maternity leave early, which I have an opinion on, but that's probably for another for another live and another conversation. But I had gotten so used to being that yes person. Can you bail me out of this? Can you help me with that? So naturally, when they called me and said, hey, one of the traders on the futures desk, he left to go to a competitor. Can you slide in? You're licensed. You know the product. Being the yes woman that I always had been, of course, I said, no problem. I'll cut my mat leave short. And it was my decision. I wasn't forced to do so. I came back a few months earlier, and with very little training, and I can't even tell you the amount of stress that I had in that, like behind me day in and day out, I did really well. And that's not just me like patting my hand on my back. I really beat all the goals that I set for myself with my head trader at the time. I was getting great appraisals from my clients. Feedback was stellar. Like, there's no way that I'm not going to like walk away from this conversation with money in hand. And I still vividly remember we were sitting at the desk. It was an oval desk. He was across from me and he's like, Nat, you did great this year, but no change in your bonus. So like completely held flat, zero. I was so shocked. I don't even know what I said. I probably said nothing in that moment, to be honest, because the next 2 minutes were a complete blur. I just remember being completely deflated and I didn't understand. So that commute home was just filled with, I don't understand. I was so confused. Where did I go wrong? And then it hit me. And I'm like, oh, I know where it went wrong. It was me. It was me. I gave away my control. I gave away 100% control to my manager to advance my career for me the way that I would hope he would, without even communicating to him what that growth is. We were not aligned. He didn't know my expectations. I just expected him to do right by me. So that was the moment that all of a sudden I started to develop that self-advocacy strategy for myself and completely took control of the dialogue, of the relationships that I was forming. I was way more strategic about my growth, and everything changed from that moment on.
Wow. That's a huge shock. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine how devastating that must have been in that moment. You thought you did everything and it turns out the reward wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they didn't see the hard work that you put in coming back early from the maternity leave. And I can just imagine that level of frustration and disappointment in that moment.
Yeah. And this was years after, you know, hearing you know, commentary, excuse after excuse as to why this wasn't going to be the year. And there's a running joke in the industry that there's always a reason why they're not going to pay you, right? And it's just this thing that you accept. And I just appreciated that the time was going to come when it was going to come. And if I just kept my head down and working hard, that it was going to be my time. And I didn't think that year I could have done anything differently. So on a stellar year like that, after years of putting in that value and hard work, that the shock of that, that's what hit me the hardest, because I realized there's nothing further that I can do using that strategy. That strategy isn't working for me. Okay, what else could I be doing that's different?
And it's so commendable that you actually took that situation, not going, I mean, a lot of people, it would be very easy to go down a negative path of like that quiet quitting. I'm like, I'm done with this. Like, mm-hmm. I gave my all, I didn't get the reward I was expected. But you took a different path. You said, okay, this wasn't working. I need to change something. So what changed after that moment for you?
Yeah, great question. And I got to say, like, thinking back, they're like, oh, what was your motivation? I'm like, frustration, anger. That's what drove my decision to start to advocate for myself. So the first thing that I did was I got real, real clear on what that goal was for me. Outside of the financial piece, I on pen to paper really drew out exactly how I wanted my career to grow. And then the next stage was communicating and getting buy-in from my boss. It was really important to take control of the conversation, not to wait for him to bring it up, not to wait for him to ask me. But I created that container for myself and I created those follow-ups. And throughout those conversations, I expressed what my goal was, why I'm well positioned for that goal, why I deserve that goal, all of the reasons. And then I asked him point blank, what are the gaps that I need to fill? So when I hear you're doing everything great, there are no gaps to be filled, I'm like, what's a girl got to do? What else could I possibly do? Is this just the reality that I'm going to be facing? And then you start to think, is it because I'm a woman working in a male-dominated space? Like, what else is at play here? And then it dawned on me at this point, he's one person. I have a whole management hierarchy above him. Why am I only putting trust into one person, even now that he knows? I don't have the luxury of time nor the patience to just sit here for another turn of a year to see if he'll actually do right by me. I'm going to make sure and do all of the things. Yeah. So after the goal and communicating it and getting his buy-in, I started to ask myself, who above him do I need to have conversations with? Who above that person do I have? Teresa, I went all the way up the chain.
Wow.
Yeah. And I may have lost a few hairs and grew a few gray hairs in the process because it was stressful. It was so intimidating. This is the first time in my whole career that I was fighting for myself. And I felt like that. I felt like I was in the ring, literally fighting for my career.
Wow. Good for you that you took charge and did that. That's incredible. Not a lot of people are brave enough to really do that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. It's once the process started, I'm like reflecting back on it. And I can reflect now being like, I appreciate how hard it was for me to go through that experience. But I can't stress enough how much that the frustration that I didn't get it fueled me. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to write this wrong. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm not stopping. And this is a few moments in my life that I'm like, oh, I'm really, my stubbornness is really working for me. Like, I am not stopping.
Yes.
Until I get paid and until I get promoted. Like, that is just what I took on for myself.
And did that happen?
It totally happened.
Wow.
It totally happened. As soon as I started, and this, I was strategic with the actual course of events, right? It's not like you execute everything in 1 week, right? This is a process. There's follow-ups, there's conversations. There's a whole other whack of strategies that flow into self-advocating for yourself. So I knew what my two most important career goals to fill the pay gap that I knew of, and to then get achieve my next level of promotion. And I decided to treat each of those goals separately, appreciating the fact if I went in with too many asks, would I be limiting how the success for each one?
Yeah.
Right. So then I prioritized my goals and I said, what's most important to me right now? Okay, getting paid. Okay, so let's fix that. We're going to revisit that also. But for right now, we're going to fix a little of that.
Yeah.
And then what's the next one? Getting my next level of promotion. All right.
Yeah.
And then when I got that, let's revisit the pay again, because I moved teams by that point. Right. So yeah, it's been a journey. It was such a journey. I would say, in addition to building those alliances and those connections, not only was I known at those tables, because most places they have round tables. So if they're talking about once a year, who are they going to promote?
Right.
It's a committee that decides on whether or not Teresa is going to get that next level of promotion.
Yeah.
So not only does your manager have the 30-second spotlight, which I didn't appreciate any of this once I started like to actually drill in and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So your manager has about, you know, what, call it a minute to advocate on your behalf. So you want to be sure that he or she has the knowledge in hand of what to say from a framing perspective as to why you're well positioned for this promotion. But what about all the other people sitting at the table? Do they know who you are? If they don't know who you are and they're like, Teresa, who? It becomes a much more difficult conversation.
Yeah. I'm sure if there's more than one person on the table that's asked, Teresa, who? That's it.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah.
And, you know, you hear the reference and such a game. How do you play the game? Corporate is such a game. Office politics, game, game, game. And I reflect a lot about this. And I truly fundamentally believe that there is a game. There's a game in anything you play in terms of your professional, whether you're an entrepreneur, which I'm sure we could attest to at this point. But also when we were in corporate, it's just figuring out, A, what game is being played? What are the rules? And what do I feel comfortable playing or not?
Yeah.
But if you're not appreciating that there's a game to be played, then you're just letting your career happen to you, as opposed to taking control and making it happen for you.
Yeah. And I love that there's two such important things here. It's one, taking charge of your career, and then also knowing your goals. Because you can't take charge of something, you can't get in the driver's seat of the car if you don't know where you even want to go. Like, no point there. And you can also, if you know where you want to go, but you don't get in the driver's seat, you're also not going to get there. So it really needs these two points of, you have to take charge and you need to know where you're going. Yeah. And then it becomes, okay, what's the strategy that I'm going to use to get there?
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, and I think most of us really started our careers with letting our career happen to us because we don't know that.
Yeah. No one teaches you that. Where's that manual on your first day? Or where's that, you know, superstar mentor that takes you under the arm and been like, okay, listen, let me lay it out for you. That just doesn't happen. At least it doesn't happen to most of us. So if you can walk into whatever opportunity that is facing you, whether you're starting a new job, new role, or you know what, you show up a new day, a new week, and you're like, all right, I'm going to figure this out. What's the game being played? What are the rules? And where do I fit into this? Right. Yeah. And something that you just brought up, everyone, there's not just a one size fits all strategy when you think about advocating for yourself. Some people are very confident in themselves and can easily talk about their achievements, no problem, while having clarity in what they want and building up those strategic alliances. They can do all the things, but if you don't know what you want, but also believe it in yourself that you could get it. It's so much mindset behind that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And because at the beginning of most of our careers, I think we can all agree to this, you're filled with that imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You doubt yourself. And by not advancing the way you're hoping behind the scenes to advance, what's that doing to your mindset? Is that feeding your mindset? Oh, you're not ready yet. Or you're not good enough yet. You still need a few more years. And, you know, so it's what internal dialogue is going on when you're not being validated.
Yeah.
Right? Monetarily, promotion, like all the Absolutely. Things, even the verbal pieces of it.
Yeah. And I can't tell you, looking back at my own career while you were talking about that, there were two situations that stand out, but there were more that I thought I did everything I needed to move to the next step. And I asked my manager, what else do I need to do? Nothing. You're doing great. You're amazing. You're a superstar. You're a high achiever. And then you don't get it. And then you ask again, like, okay, what do I need to do to get there next year? And they're like, just keep working hard like you do. I'm like, I'm losing my mind here. Like, give me tools. But that, again, now that I look back on it, was, yes, the management wasn't the best in those moments, but also they didn't have the answers. I could have figured that out for myself instead of being like, well, I guess something, I will never get there, or whatever those negative beliefs that you interpret that as.
Yeah. And exactly what happens. It's a very common reality. They might not know what you need to do. So in their opinion, they're doing everything great. But the reality is they're clueless themselves and trying to figure out what they need to do to get to the next level. So that's why relying on that one person, that next step, skip, like, you need to figure out the whole management hierarchy. How do you start to position yourself? And also thinking bigger, thinking outside of the box. What are the projects you're saying yes to, or are you raising your hand on? What about those connections that you're making across departments? What about volunteering or offering to help out with a few of those higher level initiatives, showing that initiative?
Yes.
Right?
Getting it out there.
Exactly. Getting your name out there. And it's about all the pieces. Like, if I uncover what it really means to advocate for yourself, there's a whole slew of micro strategies that you can put in play. And when you look at them all on paper, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. Because how am I supposed to start doing all of these things right now?
Yeah.
And that's a huge misconception. You can't possibly. You're setting yourself for failure if you're expecting yourself to do all the things immediately. Building out a plan that ensures your success every step of the way, that's how you're setting yourself up for success.
And what's that common first step that you work on with your clients? So someone who is really struggles with self-advocacy and they look at this list and they're like, okay, there's 100 things I could do and it feels overwhelming. Where do you start?
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on this one because it depends on where their mindset is when we're starting.
Yeah.
So if they're in a place where they're really spiraling on that negative thinking, then we start on building up that mindset, that confidence piece.
Yes.
And really getting comfortable with building up that belief in ourselves. If you're in that space for too long, you know, you start to question, am I worthy? Am I valuable? Right? And you achieve very little in that place of thinking. Mm-hmm. Right? So then we start there. If a client is pretty solid on that part, we skip right to the clarity part, getting crystal clear on what that is that they want to achieve. And I don't just stop on the immediate goal. I want the vision, right? And talking through and really building that plan out.
Yeah.
And then it's getting tactical with the conversations, how to communicate it, to ensure that they're well aligned and you have their buy-in, and then building those alliances, building those relationships with other senior leaders, positioning yourself for those needle moving initiatives, mm-hmm. right? And making more bold asks.
So if I'm, let's say I got my mindset, I'm starting to believe in myself and I know that I've done an amazing job in the last year. I deserve it. Now I have to get into this first conversation with a senior leader that I'm terrified of approaching. What's one strategy that can help me approach, or anyone in the situation, to approach such a conversation and go in there confidently?
Yeah. I mean, that was me.
Yes.
When I was preparing for these conversations with these senior leaders, I was so freaked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this going to backfire? Am I going to present myself in a way that I embarrass myself and I'm going to be worse off, and they're actually going to realize I don't belong? Like, I was feeding into that whole imposter syndrome. It's awful. It was awful. Totally normal, but totally awful at the same time. So what really helped me was get prepared. So mm-hmm. I positioned my conversations independently of each other, right? So the more senior the conversation got, I was thinking, what are the elements that they need to be aware of? For example, your immediate manager needs to hear different versions of that story or of that ask than the most senior person in your chain of command, mm-hmm. right? You become, how do I strategically shape this message so that it's effectively aligning with the person that I'm speaking to? So you're in the weeds more with your immediate manager, and your more high level, impactful, visionary, longer term focus, the more senior you get in conversation.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that when we talk to our direct manager, as you said, we're really in the weeds and we can talk about the details of our day to day and the accomplishments we had. But the higher up the chain we go, we want to really expand that to what I'm doing. How does that impact the company, the overall company strategy, the long-term vision of the company? How am I contributing to that? And I can mm-hmm. imagine this becomes more and more important as we go up to the top of the ladder.
Yeah. I see it more as like an inverted triangle. You're yes. very specific at the bottom talking to your immediate manager, and then you get more broad when you're talking about at the top, right? It's yeah. less about the specifics, because quite frankly, they don't know the specifics and they don't need to.
No, they don't. And they might not care.
No, no. But if you can have a conversation that resonates with them at that level,
right?
What are they leaving with in terms of impression of you, not only coming to them and being courageous enough to speak to them, but are they leaving with a really good impression, being like, wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed by how she was able to communicate her want in a way that I understand, and I appreciate the overall impact.
So you went in those conversations directly asking for what you were looking for.
Absolutely.
Into that first conversation, you went in there to discuss money.
Yeah. So again, I was very strategic. I wasn't talking about the dollar sign at the top of the house. Mm-hmm. It was more about positioning. So I was talking about the dollars, the actual amount lower down. When I got to the top, it was more about exposing that a gap exists and asking them for their guidance to appreciate, how can a gap like this exist? Help me understand. And they're like, oh, is there a problem? They don't know.
They don't know.
And most people aren't having these conversations.
Exactly.
So it's funny. I stressed out the most about the most senior level conversations, but in actuality, they were the easiest, because it was more of a conversation, letting them in on the challenge that you're facing, and also communicating what you've done to rectify it, and then ultimately asking for their advice and their guidance on how, what else you can possibly do. So you're mm-hmm. approaching, and what you're leaving with in that strategy, they're aware of the problem. They're aware of what you've done to try to rectify the problem for yourself. And now they're in a position that they're actually giving you advice on what you could possibly be doing. And anytime, I don't like to say absolute, so I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but most of the time, when someone's giving you advice, they become invested. Oh, yes. How did that work out? Did you try yes. that? Did it work out? So you pair that with a follow-up strategy and a way to be able to continue that conversation, letting them know how it's going. They're more in, you know, there's a two-way conversation. The chances you're going to achieve that level of growth are so much higher because they might be the ones that can actually just flip the switch and be like, okay, she deserves yes. more. It's really easy. It's, yeah.
It's easy when you know what you have to do.
When it, yeah, it's, and we yes. complicate it so much because the thought of approaching senior leadership in that way feels so scary and so daunting that you just, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's so inappropriate. I can't have a conversation. You're not asking for more money. That's the thing. It's you're positioning yeah. yourself by identifying what the problem is and how you, what you've done to solution it and the gaps that still exist.
Yes. Oh, I love that. This is pure gold, Natalie. This is so good. And I think it's really, this gives our listeners really specific tools. And also to know that you can do that. There's no golden rule that's somewhere in corporations that you're not allowed to talk to anyone higher up the chain. It doesn't exist, no. that rule. At least I've never heard of it. So to like, oh, I want to have these conversations. I need to have these conversations. I'm going to advocate for myself in those conversations.
Yeah. And it was just one quick follow-up on that. Every level, and I'm just thinking back now because I had many levels of conversation. The feedback that I was getting from the top, so the top three levels, actually congratulated me for coming forth and having the conversation.
Wow.
And said, I'm very impressed that you took initiative in this way.
By asking for those conversations, you already impressed them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you've learned all these amazing lessons in corporate that helped you advance your career and reach your goals. And then you made a really bold pivot into coaching.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing what, how that transition happened for you and what sparked the different direction, especially since it's not the traditional path, right? It's not, mm-hmm. I'm sure most people are not growing up thinking like, work hard, work really hard in corporate, and then one day just quit it and do something else.
Yeah. I never thought in a million years that I would be doing this. And some days I'm still shocked that I did it. For me, if I look back at my career progression, every 2 to 3 years, I tried something new. I may have stayed in the same area of finance and capital markets, but I joined a different desk. I went from sales to trading to sales, different groups. I'm someone that needs change in order mm-hmm. to keep stimulated. Yeah. So what I started to realize, and more importantly, a lot of the fight, I call it a fight, but you know what I mean? That yeah. journey of self-advocacy and, you know, rectifying some of the adversity that I had experienced that limited my growth. Once I was happy with where I was at financially, the best group that I could ever possibly be in, I just felt like I was plateauing in terms of my growth. And when I seriously looked around and then I asked myself, is there any other move that I could make that I'm excited about? And the only thing that kept popping up into my mind was spending more time mentoring others. Because this is something that I really fell into quite a bit, towards the last, I would say, third of my career. I spent a lot of time mentoring. It wasn't uncommon for me to be part of more than one mentorship experience at the same time. Group mentorship, one-on-one. I was volunteering to be a mentor with different industry groups within my company, leading group conversations. I couldn't get enough of it. I was addicted to it. And that's the part of the job that you're not getting paid for, right?
But this is like absolutely not surprising to me to hear that. Because when we think back, when we met in person at the Business Mastermind and I introduced the Sprikotype assessment, yeah. Your primary Sprikotype showed up as the advisor. So I'm super curious to reflect on how that showed up in your career. But for our audience who might not be familiar with it, the Sprikotype assessment was founded by Jonathan Fields, and it helps you identify what makes you come alive. And I think you just described that so beautiful. It was something you just couldn't not do. You were drawn to it because it energized you, not because you got paid for it. So that, well, let's start with, how was your first reaction to reading your own Sprikotype results and having those conversations back in Cancun?
Oh my, I was like, ah, yeah, that makes sense. I'm one of those people that really, oh, tell me what I am. I love these like self-assessments. And this was so bang on. I still remember everyone's facial expressions when we're going around the team. They're like, that's me. It all makes sense. Yes. And I was no different, obviously. So I was blown away by the accuracy of that assessment. And it's true, relating it back to my professional journey, a lot of that desire and passion that I had when I was devoting myself to mentorship activities, that's the part of the day-to-day that really lit me up. So when I was thinking about that next phase of growth for myself, I kept going back to, well, what would that look like if I just did that? And exploring different ways of doing that. And it wasn't until I was catching up with one of my mentees to find out how the end of the year had gone for him, because I was helping him with the promotion as well. And he pleasantly told me that he got the promotion, and he said something along the lines of, I don't think you realize how much you changed the growth trajectory of my career. I will forever be grateful for our time spent. And in that moment, I realized, oh my gosh, it's not just me feeling good about giving to others. I appreciated in that moment, and I hadn't before that, the impact that I actually had.
Yeah,
I can change people's lives, but just helping them. And to me, in that moment, nothing could match that. So turned to my husband that night. I'm like, this happened. I'm thinking maybe I'm going to give this a go to like just do some research. He's like, totally. Like, I support you. Next day I'm Googling. How do I turn like mentorship into a career? Long story short, lots of conversations. I ended up getting a certification in coaching behind the scenes while I was still working. And it took me 2 years to pivot. It took me 2 years. It wasn't like we said at the beginning of the conversation, it's not your typical fork in the road change that people in my industry make. Once you're in, you tend to stay in until you either get let go or you retire, but you don't voluntarily leave. That's usually not the case. So this was a quite big pivot that I took on for myself. Yeah.
That is amazing. And there's two ways you can look at it, really. Is one, you had a successful career in capital market and you made a 180 degree change to become your own boss and open a coaching business. But the other way, and I think especially when we reflect on the Sprikotype assessment, as the advisor, you love coaching, guiding, mentoring. That's the work that fills you. And even though you weren't paid to do it, those were the best moments in your career. And you did exactly what I recommend with my clients of, okay, let's find all the moments that energize you, that make you come alive. And then think about how can you do more of that? And that's exactly what you did. You did something that you've done successfully for many years and turn it into your next career step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because, and I reflect on this a lot because there's nothing easy about entrepreneurship.
No.
Yeah. You can agree with me on that. Even though the passion is 100% there, my why is crystal clear, like all of the pieces align, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy just because you figured that piece out. The beauty about, and because you're certified too, so you've gone through this process, actually 5-time certified, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, exactly.
You've gone through this once or twice, 5 times before, you appreciate that, how to work on mindset. Mm. You're trained, yes, on how to work on mindset. And it wasn't until that certification experience that I started to uncover my own blind spots. That certification, even though I was still working, like flipped my world upside down. I started, it's almost like I can see now for the first time clearly what was in front of me and this twisted narrative that I caught myself up in for so long in my career of this limited definition of what success looked like on paper. A lot of people stayed because of that twisted narrative that you can't possibly build success in any other container. And starting building a business in entrepreneurship, you are starting at zero, right? More or less. You might be starting a side hustle and then you position it, but you're working and you're building all the elements. Like, it takes time, right? And I can't help but rethink of those first few years when I was in corporate. And some things you just forget, like the pain that you experienced giving birth, right? Like, it's
gone.
You forget. And the pain of those first few years, like figuring things out with no direction and no support. And I'm like, okay, no, I've been here before. It's been a minute. And I'm retraining myself how to be scrappy with that growth right now. And accepting that it takes time to build anything in life.
Absolutely. So when you were going through that certification, how has your own definition of success changed? What did it look like before? And what does it look like now?
Yeah, good question. So my definition was very limited. It was very limited before. My definition of success was very much financially based, how much money I made, as well as the title, who knew me,
yep,
and all of that. I was so caught up with this version of myself and the reputation that I built in professional setting. To me, that's what success was, to be known in that level, to be thought of in that high regard.
Yeah.
And
it's common, title, recognition, money. That's, yeah, what society teaches us as success.
100%. Totally. That was my definition. I'd be lying to say that it's not like I went through this huge experience and all of a sudden, like, you know, I don't care about money and I don't care about recognition. It's not about that. I still very much do. I do. That's what drives me. And I'm still ambitious and I'm still stubborn.
Right.
So, like, I am still going to want to see that growth for myself, but it's also appreciating all the other elements of connecting with others and truly the impact of helping them. Yeah. And where they're at in their journeys, and exactly the fulfillment that I got when I was mentoring, and then being way more tactical with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or because mentorship and coaching are two very different disciplines.
Yeah.
Right. Mentorship comes from a place of just giving advice. This is how I did it. Why don't you try this? Mm-hmm. Whereas coaching very much exposes, as you'll know, exposes like those hidden blind spots.
Yeah.
And it starts to rebuild the mindset and that belief system that you can. And then you mix in, you know, what I like to do is I mix in a little consultancy with the coaching. So it's strategy plus reflection and level of awareness gained. And it's a very powerful combination because it's not just doing the things because you should do the things,
yeah,
but it's believing that you can and owning it at the same time. And then taking that lesson learned and applying it to all levels of your future growth.
I love that. It's so powerful to see it, that changing your definition of success isn't saying like, oh, I suddenly don't care about money and title anymore, because I'm the same. I still do. Absolutely. Yeah. Recognition. But it can be more than that. It's mm-hmm. not only money, title, recognition, but maybe we really want fulfillment and we want to make a positive impact. We want to impact others, people's lives. All of that goes into what success looks like. And I'm 100% with you. If I had all the money and recognition in the world, but I did work that I hated and didn't feel was impactful, I wouldn't be happy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be. And so it's not everything.
It's not. And I think it was realizing that in that moment in my career where I realized, you know, the gas tank's empty and there's no more fuel that I can fill it with. So it couldn't, the way that I thought about it is it couldn't get better from where I was. There was nothing else that I could possibly fix to make it better. Where I was wasn't the problem. It's I changed in the journey. My wants and desires changed. My goals changed. Why do we have to hold on to goals that we set 20 years ago?
Right.
15 years ago, 10 years ago. Things change, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Accepting it and bringing awareness to that instead of forcing a career path, the sooner you can do that for yourself, the sooner you can actually set yourself up for that change. It ain't going to happen for you. You got to make that happen.
That's absolutely true. And it's something I hear so often from people, from clients, is a lot of times in our 20s, we wanted money, success, moving up the corporate ladder. But then as we grow, that's not all. That's not it. And that's okay. It's okay if money and success is what drives you, that's great. But if it's impact and fulfillment, that's great too. And if it's both, that's great. It's okay to be who you are and want what you want.
Yeah. And that's why I love a lot of the work that you do with your clients, the clarity piece. If you're not crystal clear on that part of it and building that clarity for yourself and no one else, remove the societal expectations, remove the pressure from your spouse, your family, your parents, your friends, you, and just truly sit with what can actually fully make you happy. What does happiness and fulfillment look like in a career setting? What are those activities that I really enjoy doing? When I get lost in work, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And asking those deeper questions to gain that clarity.
Yeah.
But once you have it, as you know, that's not enough. You could be crystal clear with what you want, but if you're not taking action to go and get it, girlfriend, that's going to be a painful realization. And you're just sitting in that. You're like, now I know I'm not happy. I don't think it. I know it because I just did all this amazing clarity work. And then without that action followed,
Yes, it's both. I think this was beautiful to wrap up this conversation where we started off. It's knowing where you want to go and then taking action to get there. This has been such an incredible conversation, Natalie. I'm sure our listeners want to learn more about you and follow your work. Where can they connect with you?
Best place is LinkedIn and also my website. But LinkedIn, definitely send me a DM, connect with me. Let's have a conversation. Absolutely.
Yes, you got to follow Natalie Serebrennick on LinkedIn. She shares incredible, helpful, actionable advice every single day. Your content is top notch. And anyone who doesn't follow you is crazy. And you can also find Natalie on her website at nataliesarahbrennick.com. We're going to link both of those in the show notes. Natalie, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. And I can't wait to continue more conversations with you in the future.
Absolutely. Count me in.
And that's a wrap for today's conversation. And I hope you're feeling as inspired as I am about owning your career journey, building those powerful alliances, and advocating for your growth with purpose and confidence. If today's episode got you thinking about your own career clarity, you can book a free consultation with me to see how we can bring even more focus and direction into your path. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Career Clarity Unlocked. If you're feeling stuck in that what's next spiral and are ready to finally break free, let's chat. You can book your free Career Clarity call where we'll uncover what's really important to you, tackle any obstacles holding you back, and map out your best next step. Schedule your free 30-minute call today on careerbloomcoaching.com. And before you head out, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you never miss an episode. If today's conversation gave you new insights and inspiration, please leave a review. It really helps us reach more amazing listeners like you. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend or on social media. Your support truly means the world. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I'll see you next time.